Blog Talk Radio.
Through just fine today, and
You know, like I said, the glory of God is going to come over to show. And what I'm going to do straight off, I'm going to go to Matthew 5, to the word of promise. I'm going to play that right quick. I like to play a little bit out of Matthew each Saturday. So I'm going to go ahead and play that for us right quick. This is Matthew 5.
And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever, therefore, breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there, remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there, before the altar, and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly, while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge. The judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect.
Amen. Amen. That's an awesome one right there, Matthew 5. And he's really talking about, really showing the Jewish people and stuff about it was impossible for them to think they was perfect. Because back in those days, they went by the full law, and they thought that they was actually fulfilling the full law. Even a lot of the Pharisees was thinking that. And through the mouth of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit was telling people, you know, it's impossible for you to fulfill the full law, because, you know, you're a sinner, and no matter what you do, you're going to fall short. And the only way they can even get close is through the blood, which was about to happen at that time. Christ has not even hit the cross yet. He was still teaching. But only through him was the way they're going to, you know, go through salvation. And no matter what they try to do through works, it wasn't even close to touch the law. Even their thoughts, they would think, you know, well, I've never said anything bad to a woman. I've never talked to a woman badly. And he's saying, if you thought about a woman, a lustful thought, you have already sinned. Just a thought. And they was probably telling each other, I've never said anything to anybody, you know, but they have thought that in their heart they have sinned. So they was falling short no matter which way they was going, and he was showing that. And he was actually talking also about how people would, you know, would bring another brother in the Jewish faith down, and really whatever they did, they would prosecute them. And he was telling, he said, only, you know, even the Pharisees and the tax collectors, or the tax collectors even do the same thing. They love their brother. They do this and that, and they, you know, all this and that. And he said, love those who don't like you. Pray for those who persecute you. Bring love upon them. And I know even in my own walk that the people that would prosecute me and talk about me, I would pray for those people, and I would see the Lord bring his love amongst them and transform them and transform me as well. And it's a relationship thing there. And when you have something negative upon your brother, it actually puts a bind between you two. It's like an invisible line attached of hate between one another. And you can feel that when you get close to that brother, connection that the enemy has tied in you. You break that connection and open love back into that relationship and let the Lord to flow even more. Because when you're like that, when you have that in your life, when you have that dread or that hate or something like that, it cuts down on the love that the Lord can pour through you, because you've got a block right there. So he's asking you to pray for people who prosecute you, love them no matter what. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, that I can't tell you how many times that the Lord will open the doors and bless these people and bless you and open your broken heart and fix your broken heart where, you know, the relationships can continue and to grow. And, I mean, everybody has faults. Everybody has, you know, things in their life that they don't agree with. I mean, just agree that you disagree, but not hate one another. You know, we all have our different personalities. We all think a little differently, but we still believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we got to really look at that. That's the main thing. No matter how we look at things, still love one another and just agree that you disagree. And if you disagree with the Word of God or something that somebody's talking about the Word of God, get into the Word of God and read that and see what it says about that to open your eyes. Maybe you may be wrong in something, but look in the Word of God and see what it's saying to you to really change the way you're seeing things. But still love one another. That's what the Lord is wanting us all to do, is love one another. And from there, I'm going to go ahead and get right into the interview with Jacob. And Jacob, how you doing today, brother?
I'm just excited, man. God's made every day the best day I've ever had in my life for the last 3 years straight.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. I love to hear that. Now, Jacob, I'd like to ask you about your testimony. When the glory of God fall on you, and when did you meet the Lord and finally got in that full relationship with him?
Well, I grew up in a religious house, and you know, we were taught religion at a lot of the churches we went to. And so early on, when I was a young guy, in my teenage years, I just thought, you know, knowing God was reading the Bible and going to church. And I knew nothing about a salvation experience. And then, my mother had a lady that worked for her named Denise. And she was a spirit-filled woman, and I approached her one day because my spirit was affected by the joy that was pouring out of her. And I said, you're rich, but I don't know why, because you don't make as much money as my mother does, but you're rich, and I got to know why. And at first she said, it's because I'm a Christian. And I bitterly responded, well, I'm a Christian. That's never helped me at all. And because my idea of Christianity was religion. And, so she said, I know Jesus. And I'd never heard that before. I didn't know what she meant by that. And so she took me over to her house. She just shared Christ with me. And I received Christ by faith. And for the first time in my life, I started experiencing you know, sensations of the Holy Spirit when I would read the Bible, and whoa. And then so 16 years goes by, and the Lord brought me to another church where I got to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that was about 3.5 years ago. And that's really when things started to really, really, really change in my life. I just got really, really touched by the Lord, and I've been, you know, just wrecked over and over and over and over and over again. And it was probably after 4 months after the infilling of the Holy Spirit that I started to experience the joy of the Lord, where I was, what some people call it, drunk, but it's basically just filled. You know, Ephesians 5:18 says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So, you know, when you drink, you're not drunk after one drink. You're drunk after several drinks. And it's the same with us every day. We can have one drink, and that's great, you know, or we can be filled, overflowing. And for the last 3 years straight, I've been filled, overflowing. I've seen so much awesome fruit, man.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome to hear that testimony. Now, I know we've had a friend of the show, Matt Spinks. He's been on the show and talked about the glory and some of the stuff like that. I think it was about a year ago, and we heard quite a bit about that. But it's awesome to see that the Lord is really working through people like that and really showing the joy, because, like you said, you know, religion don't teach joy. It teaches you to be scared and the fear of God, and you better bow down because he might strike you dead if you look at him wrong. And it's something new and refreshing to some Christians to see that people are actually joyous and is enjoying the Lord and really getting to know the Lord. And I know in the book of Acts, it talks about when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the 12 disciples in the upper room, and how they came out and they was filled with the Holy Spirit, was speaking in many tongues, and they was moving around like they was drunkards. And I know some of the people was saying, oh, they're just drunk. And one disciple said, well, it's too early to be drunk, you know. So it opens the door right there to a lot of that. But, you know, it's awesome how the Lord could fill you. And, I mean, I've experienced a little bit of myself, not to the extent you have, but I have experienced a little bit of that. And the joy is awesome, man, to have that. And I have like a open heart feeling, like your heart is being opened. When your heart is open, it's like crazy, man. I mean, it's amazing. And there's a lot of people that walks in that, and I've got to meet a lot of them online that walks in this open-hearted love of God. And it's amazing to see guys like that, and it's just great that the Lord has done this. But one thing, man, I just want to ask you is, can you talk to some of the listeners about the manifestations of the sons of God and what you mean, what that means, and a little bit in detail there?
Yeah, man, no problem. And I just want to release, Lord, your heavy presence, Father, to all of us right now, Jesus. I just thank you that you're Abba, that you're Daddy. Whoa! We just honor this new covenant that you made in your blood, God, that you said you came to give us life, and that to the full, Jesus. And it's joy inexpressible and full of glory, Father. We just thank you right now, God, that new experiences, Abba, would just hit the listeners, Jesus. Your lightnings of God would just hit us, Father. And we would be undone, God, for anything else other than you, Jesus. Show! There's the fire of God. If anyone needs healing, just receive that right now. Show! Ho, Rakadashi. Okay, so I get carried away sometimes in prayer. What did you want me to say? Oh, just talk about manifestations of the God. Is that what you wanted?
Yeah, the sons of God. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, it's you know, we're all each individual unique expressions of God on the earth, and you know, even as Jesus was walking on the earth. He said he could do nothing apart from the Father, and he only did what he saw the Father doing. And so it's like every single day, you know, God's mercies are new every morning. And so we have a new chance every day to just get in contact with the Lord. And there was a minister who had a whole bunch of orphanages, and he said, I found that above all things, my very first and top priority is not to tend to any of my religious duties, not to do any of these things, but it's to get myself in a happy state with the Lord. And he found that out of that overflow, that's where everything happened. And so, that's what I found in my life too, is that as I am just filled, and you're not really concentrating on particularly doing anything, fruit just happens. And it's amazing, man. Like for me personally, you know, in 16 years of knowing Jesus as a born-again Christian, I got to see 7 people, praise the Lord, come to know Jesus. And now in the last 3 years, from just enjoying the Lord, I've seen 40 people, at least 40, come to know the Lord. And I've seen 2 speak in tongues when I've touched them, and I've seen a bunch healed, about 3 or 4 people healed. And I've also lost a job over it. So it's like a mix, man. But now I'm propelled into full-time ministry, which is what I've wanted to do for 16 years with all my heart. But I had no power. And, you know, like what you were talking about in Acts, Jesus said, you know, that you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And it's awesome to be born again. It's awesome to be saved. But it's also great when we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, that outward baptism of his power, and it's nothing more than just his love. But for me, man, it was the neatest thing in the world, because I came from a Baptist background, and I, you know, I love the Baptists. I love those people. It's just that it's so neat, because the Bible says the kingdom of God is not just about talk, but the demonstration of power. And a lot of people won't even come to Christ until they see that demonstration of power. And the Bible says that the true gospel, signs and wonders follow the true gospel. And so as I have been baptized with the Holy Spirit myself, I've gotten to meet some of the most amazing people in the world that have all together uniquely shared different manifestations of the Holy Spirit. You know, joy being one of the first and foremost manifestations. I mean, if people see you and you're happier than they are, and you're not taking drugs, but they are, they want to know why. Because a lot of people take drugs to try to hide their issues in their life, because they're sad, they're depressed, they're oppressed by the devil, the Bible says. And so they need that power, that empowerment. And man, I was so hungry to experience a reality of Jesus. I said to the Lord, Lord, there's something wrong, me being a Christian. And here's these fellows over here drinking, and they're happier than I am. I mean, you know, that's what we were just hearing, that we are the light of the world. Well, as we get filled with the Holy Spirit, yes, it's true, we are the light. And so I'm just thankful for all the manifestations. And I've seen some just really wonderful things. And, gold dust, feathers from heaven, gemstones. One of the particular manifestations that I've experienced over the last 3 years, as I've been infused with this joy of the Lord, is the spirit of might, like which was on Samson. And I knew nothing about this miracle. It just came upon me one day when I was helping my friend move furniture, and something was going on. I said, Lord, what's going on? I asked my friend, I said, why is this bookshelf so light? It's a 6-foot-long, 2-tier solid wood bookshelf, and it felt like it weighed about 10 pounds. I said, why is this thing so light? And we were unloading it from the truck, and my friend looks at me like I'm crazy. He says, Jacob, do you see what you're holding? He says, this isn't light. This is extremely heavy. I says, well, it feels pretty light to me. And so they're like, okay, tough guy, carry this in by yourself. They gave me something else. And I carried it in, man, and it felt like a feather. And I'm like, what in the world? So I carry it in. I get about 10 feet to where I'm supposed to be. And then all of a sudden, it starts feeling really heavy again. And then it gets really light again. And I didn't know what was going on. The next morning, I woke up, and all my muscles and my arms were extremely sore, like I'd been lifting something super, super heavy. Well, that miracle's happened to me now over 20 times in the last 3 years, and a lot of times it's been practical, for practical purposes, helping people move furniture, things like that. We were at a home Bible study one time, and somebody just prayed for me. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of a gentleman named Lonnie Frisbee, but they just prayed that I would receive an impartation over the anointing that was on his life. And I was infused with the joy of the Lord, and I was able to curl. I felt that strength on me, and my friend had this huge weight, and I grabbed it with my hand, and I was able to curl 88 pounds three times with one arm. And I was like, oh, my goodness. In the natural, I can curl maybe 35 pounds with one arm. So it was about three times the strength that I normally have. And so that's one manifestation show. And I believe that, you know, as we get closer and closer to Jesus coming back, that there's going to be more amazing demonstrations of power. And a lot of it is just, it's for harvest. So people can see that God is real and he's amazing. And he's worth all of our praise and honor and glory. He's worth everything. I mean, he gave everything to us. So, religion teaches you to give him, you know, for the most part, just maybe a little bit of your heart. But God wants all of our hearts. He wants us to worship him with all of our heart and all of our strength. And show, as I just enjoy the Lord, I mean, I can't even tell you how much of experiences with the Lord in several manifestations. But, there's been substance from heaven. I've seen bread from heaven. I've seen gemstones from heaven. The coolest miracle with the lifting was recently, about a month ago. We had a friend that had bottomed out a car on the side of the road, and all the weight of the metal of the car and the metal frame was resting on the road. The back tires were completely off the road, and me and a 16-year-old girl went behind there, and the Holy Spirit highlighted my vehicle and told her, the one that drives that car is going to help you get this vehicle out of the ditch. So she knocks on this door where my car is and says, can anybody help me move this car? I said, well, I'll go out there. Maybe the Spirit of Might will come over me and we'll be able to get this car out of here. We go behind that thing. Of course, we try to lift it. Can't move it at all. It's a car. It's heavy. And we look at each other and we say, Jesus, you know we can't lift this car, but we know you can. All of a sudden, as we're holding this bumper, the car lifts a foot and a half straight up off the ground and pulls up onto the road. And so he was not kidding when he said he will give you power and you will have power come over you. And it's for love and it's for harvest. And anything other than that, everything's really empty. So no matter what kind of manifestation you experience, if you're not connecting it to that personal intimacy with Jesus, it loses its enjoyment. So that's what I would encourage everybody, is just develop a deep, deep life of intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Let people pray for you. The Bible says don't neglect the gift that was given to you through the laying on of hands. I've been prayed for over 1,000 times, literally, personally, by people over the last 3 years, and it's changed my life. People like Jeff Jansen, Patricia King, David Herzog, different people like this have laid hands on me and prayed for me, and there's nothing like feeling the Holy Spirit just fall on you and change your life, and that's what we need. We need each other. It's not about one person. It's about the body of Christ coming together in a corporate glory. And then we'll see corporate harvest. There's a lot of wonderful, amazing, anointed men and women of God out there today. But when we come together and move in power together like the apostles were in the early days, that's when we're going to see the really amazing stuff. So I'm just so excited about 2015 and just going to see what God's going to do for this year.
Amen. That's awesome, man. Now, walking in this and walking as you supposed to in Christ, I know a lot of people don't understand the manifestations of the sons of God. That how are we really supposed to be walking as sons of God through Jesus Christ?
Well, first and foremost, I think you have to realize that it's not by our righteousness or our works, but it's by his. And in realizing that, you can rest. And so the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength, but it also says that in quietness and rest is your strength. And if you read Hebrews, it talks about entering into that rest of the Lord by faith. And so, like, if you look at the Gospels, even Jesus was always going away with his Father and spending time, personal time, with his Father. And so out of that rest and that intimacy and that relationship with God, he was able to demonstrate an authority that the Bible says was not like the Pharisees or teachers of the law, because they would speak and they would talk about things, but Jesus was demonstrating the true works of his Father. And so what I believe mature sons and daughters are called to is a life of continual intimacy with the Father every day by faith. And so what that looks like is just engaging God by faith and just seeing this fruit effortlessly manifest in your life as you rest. And I don't mean rest by, like, not doing anything. I mean resting, like standing on God's promises that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And he's promised he'll finish the work he started in us. And it's all for his glory, that no man may boast in his presence. And so we just let his presence flow through us. We are willing vessels, and we're yielded to the Holy Spirit. And as we do that, we'll start to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. One of the amazing, wonderful things I've experienced lately is just more of a sensitivity in my body to the Holy Spirit, like feeling fire on my leg or on my hand or something, and being aware of people around you and just asking them, hey, do you have pain in your hand or in your leg or whatever, and just stepping out in faith like that. But so just engage it as a relationship and an exciting, like it says in the scriptures, we've been made partakers and co-laborers, we're co-heirs, so we're participants with the Holy Spirit. So, like, what I would encourage people to do is every morning just say, Holy Spirit, I want to participate with you today. I want to enjoy your kingdom, God, and I want you to use me as I rest in you. I want you to use me. And that's what Paul said. He said, I've worked harder than all the other apostles, but it wasn't me. It was God's grace at work inside of me. And that grace is powerful. It's the same grace that raised Jesus from the dead. So it's powerful, and it's not just words. It's the demonstration of power.
Amen. While we're right there, what I'm going to do, we're going to go ahead and go into a song for a small break, and we're going to come back on here. We're going to ask you a few questions about your life and about the manifestations and different little things like that, and we'll be right back. Okay.
Forever, not because of anything.
This is Reverend Stan and co-host Chuck McDonald and Chris Crutchville. And like I said, I'm going to welcome back Jacob Tom Manor, and we're talking to him about the manifestations of the sons of God. And this segment, we're going to talk about asking different questions about the glory of God and how this manifests, what you feel when you go through this. And Chuck, I'm going to let you start out with the interview, man.
All right, well, thanks, man. Jacob, good to have you on, bro. I've enjoyed it so far. I do want to do just a little bit of scripture, though, because we talk about the manifestations of the sons of God. It really comes out of Romans chapter 8. Verse 19, where it talks about creation is eagerly expecting the manifestation or the revealing of the sons of God. So creation itself is waiting on us to shine. I love the fact, Stan, that you started off with Matthew 5, because Jesus said, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are all in red. If you got a red letter Bible, it's awesome, because Jesus said it, that we are the light of the world, and we should be shining pretty bright. And so light looks different to everybody. Light sometimes may be weird. So my personal background, I actually grew up Pentecostal, old-line Pentecostal, and I've said that a few times on the show. It's funny that Jacob actually started in the Baptist denomination. So and when I first started hearing about this stuff, it was about 5 years ago, and there's this real – I get to run in some revival circles. There's some real funny stuff started happening about 4 or 5 years ago where people were being awakened to what real Christianity should look like. Unfortunately, in America and Western culture, we think the pinnacle of the Christian experience is church attendance and vacation Bible schools. And so, you know, I grew up in church. Jacob grew up in church. It's just funny to hear that stuff to me. Anyway, I went on a rabbit trail, sorry. So anyway, I started hearing about this stuff, the angel feathers, and gold dust, and people getting drunk. And I grew up Pentecostal. The worst I ever saw was those old-line Pentecostal ladies screaming and shouting in church and shaking their heads and bobby pins flying around, and you didn't move because you were scared you were going to die and all that stuff. But that was the only manifestation we really ever saw. But after being so skeptical, and I'm saying this for our listening audience, because when you start talking about this stuff, people get real skeptical because it totally breaks their box. It gets way out of their paradigm. It gets way past what you can rationally think in your head. That's why it's such a spiritual application, because you can't control it physically, and you can't fit it into your head. This is a spiritual type application going on. So I was the skeptic. I thought them people were fruity. I thought they were crazy. I was probably one of those guys in the crowd when Peter stood up and said, no, these people aren't drunk. This is the Holy Ghost. I was probably the guy in the crowd going, them people are drunk. They are crazy. But then I started seeing those things. And so you really have to just open your spirit up to God, that if this is you, you'll show me. And so with that, I want to ask Jacob, coming from this background, you would think, now you would naturally think it's a little bit different than what Pentecostals would be, but kind of explain to the audience as you transitioned into this, and I know what you were starting to see, but maybe the reaction within inside of yourself, what you were thinking, maybe even some of the teachings you were starting to get out of the Bible, just to kind of explain a little bit more so that the listening audience can kind of, those who are skeptical and kind of wavering on this idea of what all this stuff is, just that real transition, because I think it happened in a short period of time with you, just like some of the stuff you were seeing and maybe what you were thinking in your head and trying to get into your spirit and stuff like that.
Okay. What kind of spurred this transition off in my life was some hardships. My wife and I were financially going through hardship. We had lost our first daughter. She had passed away, and my wife was pregnant with our second child, Hope, who's now 2 and a half. And so we wanted to make sure that the second pregnancy was going to be good. And so my wife was on pretty much close to bed rest, and she was on prednisone and things like that to try to help, maintain this child. And so as a result, we always, you know, had a double income house. And, you know, nowadays you pretty much have to do that to make it, unless you, you know, unless you're fortunate and you're an engineer or something, you know, you're making lots of money every year. But so basically the pressure of that, you know how Romans 8:28 says all things work together for our good. I mean, even the bad things God uses. And so I just, I basically had a leading of the Holy Spirit when I was looking for work, and God spoke to me and he said, I want you to call this number. And I was looking for work, and I happened to be on Craigslist. So, you know, you're leery a lot of times that maybe there's a scam or something on Craigslist when you're looking for work. But I was looking in the sales section. And so Lord said, call this number. And I'm like, Lord, I'm not going to call that number. I'm going to call every number except that number. And so that's what I did. I called every number except that number because I thought that number was a scam. It was a company called ADT that I'd never heard of before. I didn't know they were a well-recognized security company. I thought it was a scam. So 2 weeks goes by. I'm even more desperate than before because I've just been really struggling financially. And, you know, when you get behind in bills, you just feel this pressure over your life. And so 2 weeks goes by, and I hear the Lord speak to me again, says, call that number. So by that time, I was ready to listen to the Lord, and I said, okay, Lord, I'll call that number. So I call this number, and on the other line is a Spirit-filled Christian. And I get to talking to this guy, and from a Baptist perspective, you know, I didn't know immediately he was a Spirit-filled Christian, but he just started to minister to me and love me in a practical way. He gave me a job. He helped me with my car. He just started loving me. And then he started talking about his crazy church that he went to and how people were getting healed and all this crazy stuff. And I had heard, and no offense to any denomination, but the denomination I was going to, I'd heard that all that stuff's the devil. If you see anyone ever fall over or get healed or anything crazy like that, that's Satan. And so, you know, I was really reluctant to go to this man's church, but that's really the catalyst that propelled it, because that's the church the Lord used for me to be able to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so that's kind of, that was kind of like the launching point, was really just kind of listening to God and calling that number. and then, like you said, there's been a rapid fire progression. And what happened basically was this church that I was going to, do you care if I mention the name of the church?
No.
Okay. Well, the church that I was going to was had experienced a massive revival, and they were moving in power, and so they loved to pray for people, and I would get prayed for again and again and again and again and again and again. I got set free of an 18-year depression. I was depressed for 18 years. I got set free of an 18-year addiction to pornography. I got healed. I had a lifelong heat intolerance. I couldn't handle heat over 75 degrees.
Yeah.
And so I just kept getting touched and touched and touched and touched. And then from there, this hunger grew in my spirit, and I just started just going wherever the Lord would tell me to go, different churches and experiencing new things. So it wasn't all exactly at once. It was as the Lord sent me different places, I would get new impartations and, you know, slowly I say, but over 3 years come into some of this stuff.
That's great. Now, you were talking about the Pentecostal church that helped you. Yeah, you can mention their name if you want to. I just didn't want the Baptist church. I didn't want them to be thinking, oh, man, you know. But, yes, the Pentecostal church that helped you. You can go ahead and mention their name if you.
Yeah, it was a church that came from the Smithton Revival. And it was called World Revival Church. It was a Smith. There was a revival that happened, and like hundreds of thousands of people went to this small town over a period of just like 3 years, and were touched by the power of God, because this one pastor, he personally wanted to experience more of Jesus, and so he went down to Florida to this Pensacola revival, and he got touched, man. He got touched by the lightnings of God, and when he went back to his church, the power of God fell in that church, and they were all jumping up and down so hard in that church they thought they were going to break the floor out, and just everyone, you know, everyone got an amazing touch from the Holy Spirit. And so, yeah, it's the Lord used that church in my life greatly.
Amen. Awesome. Chuck, you got anything else you'd like to ask me?
Well, yeah, you talked about how that pastor had a personal thing going on, and I think we need to touch on this because I'm an evangelist, so I get to run in a lot of revival circles. And in America, I think we have a skewed version of revival in that I grew up, revival was, you know, you'd have a revival twice a year, you'd bring in the evangelists, you'd do, you know, Sunday through Wednesday night or Wednesday night through Sunday night, and that would be called revival. But I, like I said, about 5 years ago, I experienced a personal revival, and I even put this on Facebook not too long ago, personal revival always precedes corporate revival. And there's a lot of individuals who are just being awakened to the fact that there's more to this than just church going. And I'm not a church basher. I don't want people to think I'm bashing church, but there's more to it than just church attendance. I mean, before I ask him the question, let me just, my personal experience with the manifestations and stuff manifesting, my son was in a traveling ministry, and they talked about angel feathers one time manifesting in the service, and I thought, oh, Lord, what have I got my son into? What in the world? I was real skeptical. I didn't really say anything to the people in the conversation because I didn't want to be rude. And I thought this was the weirdest thing I'd ever heard of. You can't find it in the Bible. And, you know, I went down that road. Well, a few days later, I'm self-employed, so I was having to purchase some materials. It was about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, right when the economy was still real bad. I was on hard times. I was struggling in business, and I had to purchase some materials. And the last $100 I had, I spent in materials, and I was in my truck balancing my checkbook, crying, wondering, God, what in the world's going on? What am I supposed to do? And I had drove through the town of Florence, which it takes about 20 minutes to get from one side to the other. During the summer, with the windows rolled down, I dropped my daughter off, went to this place to pick up some materials, and I'm doing this, and I look over in the passenger seat, and there's a huge feather sitting in the passenger seat. And I thought, okay, either this thing is real or a chicken truck just passed me by. Well, I looked, and there's no chicken trucks around, and this feather was so light, I could barely hold it in my hand. Like the slightest breeze would just take it off. And I just wept and wept and wept and wept because and in that moment, it was not about the feather. It was about the fact that God said, Chuck, I got you. Don't worry about it. So the manifestation is not for us to get focused on jewels. I've seen the gold dust fall off of my wife's hands like she picked up a handful of glitter. I've seen all those things, but it's not those manifestations. I'm not caught up in those. It's the fact that God says, hey, I'm right here. And I've got you, and I'm in the center of it. So with that, I want to ask you, Jacob, some of the experiences that you've had, what was going on around the outside of the manifestation? Not just the, you know, oh, I had gold dust, oh, I saw an angel feather. What was the things going on around it that God showed up in the middle of it, if that makes sense?
Where
God decided I wanted to show up, like were you talking to somebody or were you in a service or were you, just different things like that?
Sure. Well, one time, this is just an example, there was a meeting with this revivalist named David Herzog, and, you know, he was sharing personal experiences and how to move in the glory realm. And so, you know, I believe that God uses our voice as a vibrational frequency to release heaven on earth. And so as this minister was speaking, he was speaking forth creative miracles. He was speaking forth gold teeth. He was speaking forth encounters with angels. And so as he was saying these things, I believe what happens is you get into this realm of supercharged activity. It draws angels because you're talking about the living God. And as you're honoring the God of the Bible, who's the same yesterday, today, forever, the creator of the universe, you're talking about these things. It releases a realm of supernatural glory that I believe is substance of heaven to create these miracles. And so, you know, a lot of times when I've experienced these types of miracles, I've been under a heavy influence of the Holy Spirit, either through a minister speaking or through a personal encounter I've been having with God. And that's why I said at the beginning, intimacy is key, and through enjoyment of the Lord. So, you know, just the atmosphere, if that makes sense. Like, you know, when the clouds cloud up, you know it's getting ready to rain. It's the same thing with God's manifestations. Whenever a whole bunch of people get together and they're hungry and they want to see the real God, well, he shows up in signs and wonders.
Amen. That's awesome, man. And, Jacob, there's one thing I'd like to ask you. Now, I know when you're going through his glory that it just manifests on you all of a sudden, and you don't really... I mean, I guess you can handle it and you can control it, but have you had times where you're out in public and it would hit you, and how would you control that?
Well, how I got propelled into full-time ministry was this revivalist, Jeff Jansen, was speaking at our church in Kansas City, and such a heavy, heavy, heavy realm of glory was there for 3 days that I couldn't even stand up, and all I would, you know, that scripture in Deuteronomy, how the priest couldn't stand to perform their religious functions because the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And there was so much glory, man, that all I could do was go in there, lay down, shake on the floor till every drop of water was gone out of my body, and then crawl to the water fountain and get a drink, and then go back in there and do it all over again. Well, after that, 3 days of all that happening, I honestly, to tell you the truth, I couldn't, quote-unquote, handle normal life anymore. And I didn't want to. I always had in my heart to be in ministry. So the Holy Spirit, what he did was, I was at my job, and I was so wrecked from this conference and just so vibrating with the frequency of heaven, I had to keep running to the bathroom. I had a sales job in Costco's and Sam's Clubs. I was selling this energy drink, a healthy energy drink that hydrates you and stuff. But I'd have to run to the bathroom because I almost fell to the ground every 5 or so minutes and started just shaking all over the floor right out in public. So I'd run to the bathroom. Then finally, the second day after the conference, I just prayed for this old man while I was at my table, and his hip and his leg got healed, his leg pain, hip pain, and I'd never seen anyone got heal anyone through me before. So I asked him 5 minutes later, I said, "Are you sure you feel better?" He says, "Yeah, man, the pain's completely gone." So I got so excited, man, I just clocked out of my job, and I went over to the Independence Center, and I just started hugging and praying for every single person I saw. And from there on out, the last 3.5 years, I've just, by faith, trusted the Lord. He's provided all my needs, everything I've needed. And, as far as handling it, I would just suggest be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and just see how people are responding to you. Because based on how they're responding to you, they're either hungry or they're not yet ready. So if they're not yet ready, just don't worry about it. But if you see they're responding to this atmosphere of the glory, that they see, you know, that God is touching your life, it says always be ready to give a testimony to somebody who asks you for the hope that's in you. So then it's a perfect opportunity to share the gospel with somebody or pray with them or, you know, is there anything you need, man? Do you need any money? This glory was on me. I was at the library, and you cannot lean on your own understanding. The Bible says don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. So what happened was this lady, according to my own understanding, did not want any help. She was hysterical. She was crying. She had just been robbed at the library. She had no money for a bus ticket. This man approached her. "Can I help you? Can I help you? Is there anything I can do for you?" "No, no, no." She just sends away. A Christian approaches her. "Ma'am, can I please pray with you? I need to help you." "No, no, 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 no." I walk up to her after hearing both of those things. Obviously, she's rejecting everything anyone's saying to her. I walk up to her full of the Holy Spirit, completely out of my mind in the glory of God. I say, "Give me your hand." She gives me her hand. She receives Jesus. She falls to the ground, cries her eyes out. "Thank you, thank you, thank you." And so she needed Jesus. She needed Jesus. And that was the first time I got to see someone actually come to the Lord after receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I would just say, just be flexible. Every situation is different, really.
Amen. Amen. And, I mean, I saw a lot of people, like you said, John Crowder. I've listened to some of his stuff. And I know you probably know John Crowder personally. But I've listened to some of his stuff, and we'd be watching a video on YouTube on my television. We can get YouTube on our television, and we was watching a show, and he was talking about, you know, Jesus and talking about his what he normally preaches about. And my wife was walking down the hallway, and she's been having problems with her knees. And all of a sudden, it popped back in place. Just the release off of that show, dude. It's crazy. And he's laughing, just yeah. He was just he was on the show, just laughing, just barely holding it up. And all of a sudden, I heard something go. Psh. She said, "My knee feels better." I was like, "That's crazy, dude." So,
yes. Personally, man, my wife read to me his book about enjoying the Lord, and anyone who wants to look it up can. But it's a title about enjoying God. If you go to John Crowder's website, but. She read it to me, man, and after she read that book to me, I'm not even kidding, I was filled to overflowing for 70 days straight, just drunk, you know, on the glory of God for 70 days straight. And and then from there, that's how it launched me into this continual drunkenness every day. But, yeah, he's an amazing man of God, and he loves the Lord.
Yeah, I will say he can be out there. If you've got a religious spirit on you, it will reflect real quick, and you will get very mad just by watching. So
yeah,
he can be out there a little bit. But, you know, it's just the things, I mean, just the presence on him will kind of, you know, shake you, and you will only just trying to figure out. You will feel it. You'll just
Amen.
Know it when you start. You'll just know it. It ain't something just. Well, I got to hear what this guy said. It said, see if he's saying all the correct things. As soon as the show shows up, he stands up, or all of a sudden you'll start telling it. You could feel it. And I got introduced to this type of ministry back, I'll say, about a year or two ago. A friend of mine from Florida, and he walks in some of the drunkenness, and he saw a lot of healings happen through him when he was in his state. And it was weird to me. Like I said, I never knew about this. I didn't really know a whole lot about this, so this was all strange to me, kind of like Chuck. And I thought,
yeah.
Oh, man, here we go with something wacky again, you know. But when I saw
Do you mind if I touch on one thing you said earlier? You hit the nail on the head earlier when you said that, you know, it's not just about a church meeting. That's the thing the Lord has shown me through all of this, is that really it's about a continual, everyday awareness of God's presence in our life. And we develop this culture of loving and worshiping God every single day. And that's really what I believe the early church was walking in. You know, if you read in Acts, it says that they met almost daily. And they were breaking bread and fellowshipping and loving each other. And it was because they were so experiencing God, that's all they wanted to do, is just be with each other. And I think that, you know, we really feed. And so if you get blessed Sunday and if you get blessed Wednesday, think about how much you'd be blessed if you were with some of your friends you love almost every single day. And not all of us can do that every single day, but what I'm talking about is just with your heart engaging the Holy Spirit every day like it's Sunday or Wednesday. And you know, then cause when you're in church, you're thinking about Jesus because you're singing the worship songs, you're focused on him. And as you do that every day, then it just becomes so much more real. And we really need that to walk in the power that the early church did. We need to cultivate that daily awareness of God.
Amen. I know as of yesterday, I went and saw
hey.
My friend's mom and dad.
Can I say something?
Go ahead, Chris, man.
Hey, look, that's something I like to say over and over again is like it's life. It's the impartation of the divine nature of God. It is life when you're born again. And so many people make it all about like meetings and, you know, stuff like that. But really God wants all of you all the time, you know. And really, our worship should be a reflection in everything we do. And when you, even at work and stuff, when you honor God with what you do and how you do it and do it as unto the Lord, I mean, that's when you really start getting somewhere, because these manifestations and stuff like that, they happen continually. You know, whether it's just like the Lord speaking to you about your coworker or whatever, you know, you can do it. You ain't got to be all supernatural all the time to where you're wigging people out. But I like that. You know, I like the complexity and the simplicity of the gospel. And I think, you know, certain people are drawn to certain things, and God bless them. You know, that's awesome. But I just wanted to share that because it was just stern.
Amen. Yeah, well, I think that's what the Spirit wanted us to talk about, because all three of us agree on that. And as you're in his presence, I mean, that is, man, that's all, you know. And out of that, man, your family life, your everything lines up, you know. It's just, it's so much all better. It's all blessed, and it's all good, and it's all wonderful. Like you said, your job's better, your everything God's called you to is going to flow.
Hey, man, the best of both worlds, you know, or both realms, or however you see it, you know. It's like, I completely agree, though, that you need to take time to really focus and honor and meditate and get and behold the Lord, you know, and just let him do what he does in your heart in those times of just waiting on him and just hearing from him. I mean, some of those times are, well, me personally, are the things that propelled the richness of God, made me more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, stuff like that. But
Jesus.
Anyway,
yeah.
I'll be quiet.
No, that's right, man. That's right. At first, the joy, I was experiencing his joy, and then he showed me that scripture, in quietness and rest is your strength. So those times where we just go deep with the Lord, and a lot of people always think of prayer as like talking, but really, more of prayer is just sitting in God's presence and listening, closing your eyes, relaxing, and not focusing on your brain, and just letting God talk to you. And it's amazing. That's one of the things I've become the most addicted to, is just going away with him. You know, Song of Solomon talks about going away and being captivated and enraptured. And he says, your love is sweeter than wine. Kiss me with the kisses of your lips. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their new wine and their grain abounds. And so, whoa, Shaka. It's I agree.
Amen. And it's just, a lot of times the mind gets in the way. And the less we can, you know, when we're in worship and we can just let the mind rest and just let it go, and just get to that quiet place, get to that peace, and let the Lord do what he needs to do on us during this rest and this worship. A lot of us, we're so stuck in our mind that even when we get into worship, we think we've got to use the mind to think of all the different prayers we got to say, and how many times we got to pray in tongues, and then how many times we got to pray in a regular language, and who we got to focus on. Is just shut the brain down, you know, just let it be quiet and just wait for the presence. Just ask the Lord to come upon you and minister to you, and just quieten the mind down and let him do what he does best, is renew you and change you. And that's the one thing, just quieten that mind down and just let the Lord minister to you, because you need the presence of the Lord on you. You need to be by his feet. You need to listen to him, because he is your teacher. He's the one that's going to renew you, going to show you, because God knows we don't know what we're doing. He's the only one who does. We need to go to the main guy that knows what's going on, and listen, and just soak in what the Lord has for us. And that's one of my main thing. And I do think that, as you were saying, not only a church, but hang out with your Christian friends. And I'm not saying just hang out with your Christian friends all the time. That's not who you hang out with, because we're supposed to build a kingdom and bring, you know, some of the sinners into the kingdom and get them saved and bring them into the kingdom. Not just hang out with the Christians all the time, but hang out with the sinners as our Lord did, and bring them into the kingdom. But we do need time to hang out with some of our Christian friends to get renewed and talk about the Lord. And I know my own self, I got – go ahead, man.
Stan, one thing I was going to say is the like just hanging out with the Lord like that. You know, it says bad company corrupts character, right? So, like, good company does you well. I mean, it rubs off on you. It catapults you even more into the likeness. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I think about, like, Jesus Christ being the anointed one and his anointing. You know, so the more that we can see Jesus, even in people that are bad, but more so in the people that are walking in stuff that you want to walk in, you know, being around that anointing and that influence and seeing Jesus in them, it like really does you wonders in growth. And I really just wanted to say that the anointing, like being around people that are anointed, is really one of the key things to growing that I've experienced, you know, and when the glory of God is in manifestation, you know, because there's times where he kind of descends on a place, you know, and I'm not really completely, absolutely, like, got all of that theology figured out, but I know it enough to, I know the Lord enough to know that when I'm being blessed and when I'm not, you know, and what excels my faith and causes me to go deeper into him. And, you know, you can tell by the results that you have and the effects that follow that stuff, whether or not it's God, you know, and we're to judge people by their fruit and stuff like that. And I just wanted to say that, man, it's an honor to walk with the Lord, and really, God, I just say right now, just to help us see you, Jesus, in everybody and everything, we want to fix our eyes on what you're telling us. And, Lord, thank you just for causing all of our seeds to grow. Everybody that hears this, all of us, Lord, thank you that you create unity in your body and that you keep growing and excelling in a mighty way in your body and reaping the harvest and making your body bigger in Jesus' name.
And I want to contribute a little too, guys. I just want to bless everybody. Kumbaya na hai. Ho 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 ho, hey hey hey, ho na ya hai, hey. In your presence is fullness of joy. Sha na 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 na, hey 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 hey. Hey, 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 victory of Jesus. Hey, 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 victory in the Lord. This banner over us is love. Shaka.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Glory.
That's awesome.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Daddy.
And one thing I'd like to touch on, we was talking about hanging with mind-locked friends, people that think the way we do, and just the worship with them at times when we can. And, you know, the Lord was really touching on me is get with the friends that love you, the brother that you are, not the ones that don't really like you, but with the brothers that do like you, because I remember back when Christ was walking on earth, he had a lot of people that disagreed with him, and even some of his disciples. That's why disciples was coming in and out of his group, because he would always come out with something more outstanding that they couldn't comprehend, and they would leave. But always the 12 always stayed there. They always stayed there. The other ones came and go as they went, but those 12 really loved Jesus. And Except for Judas Iscariot, and he had a plot, and the Lord was going to use that plot to help glorify his son. But except for him, all the other ones really loved him, and they're the ones that stayed close to him. And that's the ones that he really built his ministry upon, was those, the ones he loved, and the ones that loved him. And the thing of it is stay with these people that love you and really appreciate you, and you appreciate them and what they're doing, and that key group is going to grow, and you'll bring more people in that can see your vision, see what you have in your ministry that can help them, and that vision will grow and it will multiply. And I know we all gather friends that don't really got the program, and they don't really love us or just there, but there is friends that we do have that love us and really have that program that really wants to glorify God and really do that. And even ones that don't pray for them and love them anyway and watch them grow, but the ones that really, really, really help you and really want that, you'll know these ones by their fruit. Like Chris said, by their fruit and by that, you'll see that, and the Lord will. And a lot of times the Lord will just, you know, he'll trim some of those branches off the tree of your ministry, and the ones that it ain't really producing, he will cut those limbs off. And then he will magnify more limbs that will grow more fruit through your ministry for his kingdom. But that's the one main thing, is get that key group of people that has the same idea and has the same love for the Lord as you do, and grow. And ever so often, just call like a team meeting or hey, friends, let's go and hang out at the restaurant. Let's just talk about the Lord. Or let's go hang out at your house and just spend a worship time together. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord is going to bless you. He's going to bring his presence upon you like you've never seen before. And I really think, Jacob, you've experienced this before. You've had some key people that really loves the Lord as you did. And y'all have came together and saw some magnificent power just come to you that the Lord has brought with like-minded and connected hearts in your ministry. Yeah. I know you've experienced it because I can feel it. But just gain that time with your brothers and just worship the Lord and see what's happened, see what will happen, and see what he will do in your ministry, see what he will do in your life, and see what type of fruits will grow off of that, because I know the Lord is going to manifest fruits off your ministry, off your life. You just walking down the street, you're going to manifest fruits for the kingdom, because they're going to see the love in your heart. They're going to feel the glory on your life, and it's going to manifest. And you're going to be bringing people to the kingdom. You're going to see them getting saved. You'll see them get healed. You'll see people walk in your surroundings and get healed by the glory of the Holy Spirit that's on them. And I'm telling you, this will happen. And, Jacob, I really appreciate you being on the show today. And it's, you know, I got great respect for you and your ministry. I know that you're doing some good stuff for the Lord. And, thanks again for coming on the show, Jacob.
Yeah, man, thank you. It was a huge blessing. You guys are awesome.
Amen. And maybe we'll have you on again some other time and talk about some more topics and to share your gift amongst the listeners. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to listen to this show, because I know you've got a lot of supporters out there that really likes a lot of stuff that you do. And I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. Do you have a website or something, Jacob?
The best way to reach me would be through my Facebook page, which, you know, just Jacob Tietmeyer, Tietmeyer, and just friend me on Facebook and send me a message. And I'm real, you know, real personable. So I'll just, if anybody messages me, I'll get a hold of them. And I'll share whatever, you know, the Lord has, just to share my life, you know. And I want to get a website someday. The main focus right now is our Skype fellowship groups. So if anyone does Skype and they would like to friend me on Skype, they can also friend on Skype. My Skype ID is tietmeyer@hotmail.com, just like my email address. So tietmeyer@hotmail.com, and just send that on the search on Skype, and it'll pull up Jacob Tietmeyer. And we have meetings almost every single day, and we just sometimes 8 to 12 hours together. We just spend time together in the glory and get blessed.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome, man. And I think I've been to one of your Skype meetings and really got the experience. It was a pretty cool meeting, and I really hand that out to people. You know, if you see a Skype meeting that he has, just join in and you know, actually just become a friend of his on Skype and see what happens. You know, try it out. If you never experienced this, try it out. It never hurts to try something out, you know, and just test the waters. And I just really, you know, refer that to people. And if you see Jacob Tetmeyer online, just friend him and let his life bless yours. And I like to tell everybody that if you've never listened to his show before, I ask you to share this show to many different people to really get this show out, to really bless people with this ministry, really bless this ministry with what Jacob has brought, and let him listen to this show and many other shows that I have. I ask you to follow the Healing Light show on Facebook, and just push the follow button on Blog Talk and just follow my show. And I have many different people that comes on here, and I'm gonna have a prosthetic painter on next week. Her name is Rhonda, and she's going to be blessing us with some of the things that she's been doing in art that the Holy Spirit been doing through her. And she's actually been painting a portrait for me that the Holy Spirit has been directing her to paint for me. And it's going to be awesome, and she'll do it for anybody. You just got to let her know, and she'll hook up a time and all that. But she does some awesome paintings, and it's going to be a pleasure to have her on the show. But then again, you know, Jacob, thank you so much for coming on the show, man.
Oh, man, it's been a huge blessing. Thank you for inviting me, and I just release abundant favor over you for the connections that the Lord is giving you, man, and you're just such a blessing to the body of Christ.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much, and I accept that, and I really put blessings upon you and your wife, and I'm sure he's going to bless your family, and I'm seeing a blessing he's bringing upon your family and your children, and I see things blooming in your life, and I'm sure that you're going to see it blooming in your life pretty soon. It's fully bloomed, so you're coming to where you've been wanting to happen in your life. The flower has opened, and your life is bloomed. It's just manifesting around you, and you're going to see some cool things, man. And like I said again, thank you for coming on the show.
All right, man.
And, you too, man. You too. And thank you, Chris and Chuck, as always, my two partners there. Thank y'all for coming on the show.
Yeah, no problem. It's an honor being here. It's great.
Yeah, man, really enjoyed it. Appreciate you having me on.
That's awesome, man. I always appreciate you two coming on there. Y'all add a little extra something to the show, and get to ask a few more questions that I can't think of, and really help all the listeners out there that's thinking of these questions, that y'all two are helping them to get their questions in too as well, and that really helps a lot, and it's a blessing to have both of you two on the show. But I'm going to go ahead and shut this show down. And like I say, I want to say thanks to all the people listening and all the new listeners. I want to thank y'all. And we do have shows on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. And we have shows on Saturdays at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And on Wednesday nights, we have Robert Hager. He's an evangelist from here in Lincolnton. And I'll say a pastor and an evangelist. And Chris and me is on, and we pick different topics of the Bible each week or whatever the Holy Spirit has guided us to, and we really try to teach people the Word of God and what the Lord is speaking to them, and we try that every Wednesday night, and we touch a lot of people, and I like to say just check out the shows and see what happens, and I like to say God bless every one of y'all, and may God bless y'all through this week.
Scattered words and empty thoughts seem to pour from my heart. I've never felt so torn before. Seems I don't know where to start. But it's now that I feel you breathe for like rain from every fingertip, washing away. Every beat.